Blessed. Some of you are and you don't even know it. Think if we had realized just how good God's been, turn me up, Shane. We wouldn't complain near as much as we do. I heard a guy on the radio on 7:50 on AM. They were talking about the recession and how people were whining and complaining about how tough things were. He said they got a satellite dish on the top of their house. Got two new automobiles sitting in the driveway. He said, modern day America don't know what tough is. You know, that's probably the truth. If our air conditioner breaks, we're in a panic. I remember growing up in a single wide trailer, right out in the middle of the pasture with not a shade in sight. 105 degrees on the outside and 120 on the inside. And them little roll-out windows that just went like that, you know, just had little slots. It's all you could do to breathe. But we made it, amen? You know, I don't know how tough things are going to get, but we'll make it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd. I appreciate that good singing tonight. We are blessed. I do believe this is still the most blessed nation on this planet. Brother Charles was talking about, be taking your Bible and turning to the Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, then the Song of Solomon. Put your thumb right in the middle of your Bible. You hit Psalms and then just go to the right just a little ways. Brother Charles was talking about how, I forgot who it was telling him, may have been Brother David Soult, how wicked things were in London and how open sin was. We think it's bad here in America. And I remember talking to a missionary in Italy, and he said right under the shadow of the Vatican, people walking around literally nude. I mean, he said just unreal, just all out pornographic nudity on billboards on the road. And hey, you know, we just don't know what we have. Yeah. I know things ain't what they ought to be, but we're still blessed to live in America. You may not agree with who was elected as president and vice president, all that kind of business, but we're still in the most blessed nation on this planet. Did you know there are still, every surrounding country, we still have people trying to find a way to get here? Amen. They risk jail and everything else just to come and live where you get to freely. Amen. Well, we ought to thank God we've been blessed. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I'm going to look at one verse tonight and give you what I felt the Lord laid on my heart. I love the Song of Solomon. I've read commentators that are idiots, I guess you could say. I read where one said it didn't even belong in the canon of Scripture. Well, I got news for you. If it didn't belong, it wouldn't be there. You can look at the book of Song of Solomon in two ways. I've heard many preachers preach through it and teach through it as Jesus the bride and the church or Jesus the groom, the bridegroom, and the church the bride, and that does, it does fit. There are some beautiful parallels. I taught, been years ago now, we were still in our old building. I went through on Wednesday nights and did a whole series on marriage from the book of the Song of Solomon. I remember one couple was about to go through a divorce, and I took a set of tapes that we'd made from that, and I said, please sit down together instead of watching TV for a week every night. Listen to one of these tapes. They're still married today. Husbands, you can find out how you ought to treat your wife in the book of Song of Solomon. Ladies, you can find out how you ought to respond to your husband in this book. But I want to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. And by the way, I don't believe there's anything vulgar in the book of Song of Solomon. I believe it's pure, amen? But I want to look at verse number 15 in chapter number 2. He says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want to read that again. He said, take us the foxes, and he could have just said that spoil the vines. But what he said was, take us the foxes, comma, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our grapes are tender. I want to talk to you tonight about the little foxes that can hinder us this year. The little foxes that can hinder us this year. For a guy who raises grapes, he's called a husbandman, or husbandry is what they call. They have the vineyards and the vines, and the product of the vine is the grape. Now, what would that be? That'd be the fruit, right? As God's children, we are to produce what? Fruit. He didn't just say fruit. He said much fruit. And then he said that our fruit might remain. Amen. I want to be a fruitful church. I want to be a church that produces. Brother Micah Garner was here this morning. It's been probably 5 or 6 years since Micah's been here. He was just a teenage boy the last time that he was here, and his family sang together, and we went out to eat after church, and Micah said, you know what? He said, I didn't hardly know anybody there, and they used to come here a lot. He said, I saw a lot of new faces. He said, that's a good sign. Yeah. Amen. You know what that means? That means there's fruit. Yes. There's fruit. Amen. Now, the writer was worried about the fruit. Our grapes are tender. Our grapes are tender. I thought about this week, and I thought about all our new converts. Some of them are not really new converts. Some of them have been saved for a long time, but have just really recently just got in church, just joined the church, and just been baptized. They may have been saved 7, 8, 10 years, some of them, but they're still just babes in Christ. We've got some that have just been saved in the last week, the last 2 weeks, the last month, just the last few months. What I'm trying to tell you, church, is our grapes are tender. And he's given just a solemn warning now. He said, take us the foxes. Now, when we go out deer hunting, we are there to what? Take a deer. Are you with me? We're there to take an animal. What that means is kill it. Are you okay? Let's go out there, he said, and let's kill the foxes that are spoiling our vines. Evidently, there was some damage to the crop. Evidently, there was some hurt, some waste, some thievery going on. And he said, now let's take the foxes. And he said, mind you, it's those little foxes. It's those little foxes that are damaging and hurting our fruit. By the end of 2009, I want Jeremy and Michelle to still be sitting right there. I want CJ and his wife to be still sitting right there. I want Rusty and his wife to still be sitting right there, just less of Rusty. Amen. I can't help it, brother. Are you with me? But as a church, we're going to have to watch out for some little foxes. Did you know churches rarely spit? You got to be in a spiritual church to spit. Amen. No. Churches rarely split over big things. It would blow your mind. I wish sometimes I could just take you guys with me and travel the country a little bit and hear some of the things I hear from pastors. Some of it is so sad and so sickening, all you can do is laugh. It's awful, the things churches fight over. It's always the little things. It's always the little things. When big things happen in a family, it rarely tears the family apart. When the bigger things come along, we seem to pull together. It's the little things. Nine times out of ten, when a husband and a wife sit down in my office, and y'all just bear with me, and if this offends you, please forgive me, but when adultery has happened in a marriage, did you know nine times out of ten, when I've dealt with that, we've been able to work through it? Maybe eight out of ten. I've seen more of them make it than not. But it's the little things. It's the little things. He doesn't come home from work. He'd rather hang out with the guys than spend time with me. Well, watch it get quiet. It's those little things that spoil the vine. And I just want to give some warnings tonight of some little foxes we need to watch out for. Amen. Now, I've got preacher friends all over America. They'll rear back and they'll preach so hard against adultery. And amen, I'm for that. We ought to. Amen. They'll rear back and they'll preach so hard against drugs. And yes, I'm for that. We ought to. You smoke dope, you need to quit. Amen. You hooked on some kind of methamphetamine, you ought to quit. You ought to get some help. Amen. I can hook you up with some families right here tonight that go to RU every Friday night. You know what they're doing? They're trying to get some help. To get rid of something that, hey, we ought to preach on that. Amen. We ought to. We ought to preach on it. We ought to preach against gambling and all kind of open, grotesque sin. But rarely do we hear those little foxes preached on. And it's those little foxes. Hey, listen, I got better things to do than stand here and rip your hide, ladies, over whether or not you wear breeches. I could care less if you wear breeches, if they're modest. When it comes to the house of God, I'd rather you have on a skirt. If you're going to take part in the ministry, leadership, Sunday school, bus ministry, whatever, you better wear a skirt. I want you to look your best. Say amen right there. Amen. But I've got better things to do than spend all that my time on stuff like that when little foxes are creeping in here and spoiling our grapes. Yeah. Are we okay tonight? Yes, sir. Let me give you a few of these, and then we'll try to hurry and get through tonight. I want us in this church to watch out for the little fox of a bad attitude. The little fox of a bad attitude. One little fox with a bad attitude can kill a church quicker than a family having an adulterous affair, quicker than somebody getting drunk on a Friday night, quicker than some man smacking his wife upside the head. I mean, brother, that thing, one bad attitude. Man, you know what they always said? One bad apple spoil a whole bunch. A bad attitude spreads like a vicious disease. It's like chicken pox, man. You say, I ain't got a bad attitude. You get around somebody that's got one, you'll get it. Amen. I don't hang out with people with bad attitudes. Why? It rubs off. Amen. I remember the story about the little girl who went shoe shopping for school with her mom, and she took her from store to store to store, and they'd shopped all day, and the mama's feet was hurting, and she was just about had it up to here, and they came out of one store, and the mama looked at the little girl, and she said, did you see the look that cashier gave me? She said, Mama, you had that look when we got here. Amen. In other words, you had a bad attitude when you got here. Remember the story about the grandfather who came and stayed the weekend with his wife, with his daughter and son-in-law and grandkids? The old man had a big old handlebar mustache, and he went to sleep on the bed and took him a nap. And little old 8-year-old boy went to the refrigerator, got some Limburger cheese, and rubbed on grandpa's mustache while he was asleep. He woke up after his nap. I don't know if you ever smelled Limburger cheese. It stinks highly. He woke up after his nap and said, oh, this room stinks. So he left the bedroom where he'd taken a nap, and he went down and got a newspaper and sat down in the living room and started to read the paper. He said, well, the living room stinks. He went in the kitchen. He sat down. His daughter was preparing the evening meal. He sat there and he said, the kitchen stinks. He said, I'm going out for some fresh air. He sat down on the porch, took another sniff, and he said, the whole world stinks. It wasn't the bedroom that stunk. It wasn't the living room that stunk. It wasn't the kitchen that stunk. It wasn't the whole world that stunk. It was his own upper lip. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we get a bad attitude. Now, that little fox can do more damage than you can imagine. Now, here's what I want to warn against tonight. I want to warn against murmuring. I want to warn against murmuring. Bad attitude will cause you to murmur. What is murmur, preacher? You know what murmuring is. Amen. Exodus chapter number 16 and verse number 8. You can turn there. I'll read it to you. It doesn't matter either way. And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall have give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full." You know what he's saying? God's taking care of you. You got food in your belly. Amen. He said, "For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him." And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. They were murmuring and running their mouth about Moses and Aaron. Why'd you bring us out here to eat this light bread? Man, we had garlic and leeks and all that back there in Egypt. Yam, 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 yam. And Moses said, "Brother, it ain't you. It ain't me that you're murmuring against. You're murmuring against God, and He hears it." And every time we murmur and complain and gripe and grumble and fuss, God hears every word that comes out of our mouth. And if that murmur is spoken, that murmur is heard. So we're not only hurting ourselves when we murmur and complain, we're hurting whoever we're murmuring and complaining to. Does that make sense? So let's watch out, church, this year for that little fox of a bad attitude. How many of you ever get one? Oh, be honest, man. I'm bad. I get a bad attitude, man. Sometimes I just get to thinking about things, and I get a bad attitude. I don't want a bad attitude. I have to fight that thing. Have you ever fought one off? Have you ever felt it coming? I'm trying to help you tonight. I mean, you feel it coming on. One thing can happen and ruin your entire day. I've watched faces in the service where people were absolutely enjoying themselves and rejoicing during the singing. I get up to preach and say one thing that they disagree with or don't like, and it changes their entire countenance. Over one sentence, you lose the blessing of the whole. You better fight that thing off. You and I are not going to see eye to eye on everything. Are we okay tonight? We're not robots. I don't expect you to think like I think. I sure don't expect you to act like I act. We are going to disagree. We were sitting at lunch today, and Michael looked at me. He said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "All right." He said, "Do you agree with everything Dr. Ruckman said?" I said, "No." And I was afraid I was going to upset him because that's where he went to school. I said, "Do you?" He said, "No." He said, "But I sure do love him." I said, "I do too." Amen. I saw a little bit of character when he didn't say, "What do you disagree with?" He didn't say that. You know what? He wasn't trying to find out whether or not I agreed with everything Ruckman said. He just wanted to figure out, did I respect him? Amen. I like that. I don't agree. I don't agree with everything Brother Freddie says. He don't agree with everything I say. But you know what? He says a whole lot I do agree with. He says a whole lot that is a blessing and a help to your preacher. And I'm not going to take one little thing that maybe he sees differently than I do and ruin the whole of my relationship and my friendship and my fellowship with him over one thing that I don't. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? Just shut up about it and go on. Amen. No need to gripe. You say, "Well, you said something I disagree with, and I'm going to tell everybody what you said and how bad I disagree, and I'm going to find me another church." And guess what? It ain't going to be long. That dude's going to say something you disagree with too. Amen. Unless you want to go to those churches where everything's wonderful and you never do anything wrong and you're the salt of the earth, which we are supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I know people who have left our church and went to churches like that just so they'd never have to hear anything about themselves. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." He's talking about that bunch in Exodus. He said, "Neither murmur ye." He said, "Don't do like they did. Let them be your example. See how God feels about those who murmur." Amen. I'm going to make decisions for our church throughout this year. Some of you will love it. Some of you won't. But just say, "Well, let the Lord be the Lord." Amen. God will take care of it all. Are we all right? I'm on a purpose in my heart. You want to talk about resolutions? Well, that'd be a good one right there. Make up your mind. I'm going to bite my lip. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm not going to get an attitude just because things don't go my way. Amen. Do you know what causes that? We're too stuck on me. I hope we're all right tonight. But that little fox will destroy our church. It'll destroy our joy and our happiness. I'd much rather go to bed happy than mad. Wouldn't you? I'd much rather get up in the morning singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound" than wah, 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 wah. Amen. A little fox of a bad attitude. That bad attitude produces murmuring, and it produces sowing discord among the brethren. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, the Bible talks about six things that the Lord hates. And he says seven are an abomination to him. And in verse 19, one of those seven things is he that soweth discord among the brethren. That is a product of a bad attitude. If you've got a good attitude, you're not going to say anything bad. Just let that sink in a little bit. But when you get a bad attitude, you're more apt to sow discord. What does that mean? Finding fault and trying to get somebody else on your side. You may see a problem that's bothering you and eating you up one side and down the other, and you may say something to nobody. They've never even noticed it before. That's discord. Now you've got their eyes off of the lady who came to the altar and got saved this morning, off of the lady who came down on this side and got saved this morning. Their focus is off of the young'un that got saved in junior church this morning. Their focus is off the bus that had 50 boys and girls come to hear about Jesus. Now their focus is on something stupid, something silly, something trivial, something mundane, and they can't even get a blessing because you have planted discord in their heart. That's human nature. I hope we're okay. So we ought to watch out for that little fox. Now he said, take us the foxes. That means we got to kill that thing. Amen. You don't just step out and tell a fox, no. You can't put on the hen house, no foxes allowed. That won't work. Amen. That won't work. My granddaddy used to have a saying. He said, "There's only one way to stop a dog from sucking eggs." I didn't know what that meant. But back in the old days, they didn't run to Ingles and Publix and pick up a dozen of grade A large eggs. They went out to the hen house. And they reached up under that hen and she said, "Boop, boop," and they'd grab them eggs out from under. And mama'd fry them up. But them old dogs and them old foxes would get in that hen house and they'd bite a hole in the end of that egg and they'd suck all the egg out of it. And brother, ain't nothing a dog or a fox likes better than a good raw egg. And they said, "Man, they wasn't the one way to stop it. You got to kill that sucker." Amen. And there ain't but one way we're going to stop murmuring and sowing discord. We're going to have to kill it. And I'm not talking about kill the people who's doing it. I'm talking about killing the sin itself. Are you with me? Can I get a witness? When these new converts come dragging somebody down the aisle, I heard them, brother. Here they are. Kill them, kill them. Brother Fred said, I like it. I just have to keep him at bay, amen? Y'all okay, he don't bite, amen? But we've got to kill the very sin itself. You know the only way to kill any kind of sin in our life? It's called repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of murmuring. There have been times in my Christian life I've been guilty of sowing discord. Not so much in here. But I have a network, nationwide network of preachers that I know. And nobody, I promise you, is worse. We stand in the pulpits and preach against it and preach against it and preach against it. You get 20 Baptist preachers around the table, somebody's going to sow discord. Somebody's going to murmur. And over these past 2 years, I've seen it more and more and more, and it's gotten about to where it wants to make me want to vomit. Yeah. And the only way, I've still got to be around it. I've still got to be around some of those guys, and I love them. And I hope some of them are older than me, and I hate correcting older preachers. I do. That bothers me. But I've made up my mind, when it starts, I'm going to get up and walk away. I'm not going to be a part of crucifying some preacher in some other church who's not at the table. Yeah. Yeah. It's never anybody who's sitting there. Because a bunch of cowards ain't got guts enough to say it to their face, so they do it behind their back. But the only way that sin is ever going to stop in our lives, we're going to have to make up our mind. We're going this way, sowing discord, and we're murmuring. We're going to have to say, wait, I'm not doing that anymore. And we've got to turn and go away from it in purpose in our heart. And pray and ask God that every time we start to murmur or sow discord, that the Holy Spirit would prick our heart. And say, hey, you said you wasn't going to do that no more. Oh, you're right, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it even went through my mind. Yeah. You know what it is? It's a habit. Amen. And it's a bad habit. Amen. I hope we're okay. Y'all want me to get on off that, huh? Let's watch out for that little fox of a bad attitude. Let me give you the second one. This thing that's not getting any better tonight. I just thought I'd tell you. Let's watch out for the little fox of an uncontrolled tongue. Let's watch out for the little fox of an uncontrolled tongue. I'll make somebody mad right here, but I'm going to make a statement. I feel in my heart that it's true. I don't know how many times over the years I've heard people say, well, I'm just one of those people. I can't help it. If it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. You're stupid. You don't say everything that comes through your mind. You're lying. You know better than that. You choose your words. They start as a thought in your mind, and out your mouth they come. I used to say that. Well, I'm just somebody who speaks my mind. I was raised by a strict parent. Outside the house, I cuss like a sailor. Yeah. But I didn't do it in front of my mama. Amen. And I was lost. Yeah. What does that say? You can control your mouth. Yeah. You can control your mouth. We need to look out for that fox of an uncontrolled tongue. Yes, sir. Just a little slip of the tongue can destroy some young, tender grapes. These new converts don't need you to point out my faults. They stay around long enough, they'll see them. And maybe they'll grow to love me enough by then that they'll be able to look over them. Amen? Amen. Well, it's a good church, but hush. If you're going to invite them out to eat, do it just to get to know them, be a friend to them. They don't need any information about the members of this church. Amen. Every church got problems. Every church got messed up people. We got a church full of messed up people. Amen. Why, if you wanted to talk about somebody in this church, all you have to do is go any, many, mighty, mo. Just pick one. Amen. We need to watch those uncontrolled slips of the tongue. How many of you, even recently, something came out your mouth and in your mind, in your heart, you went, I shouldn't have said that. I should have just sat on that one right there. Amen. Words of gossip. I think gossip is still a sin. Amen. I think it's still a sin. Do you know how hard it is to conceal something juicy? You remember the bunch on Hee Haw, them girls that sang, and them old men lay there, that hound dog laying in between them? Yeah. You know, we're not one to go around spreading rumors. Yeah. We're just not the gossipy kind. Yeah. Something, 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 so you better listen close the first time. Y'all remember that? Huh? That was on Petticoat Junction. That's Hee Haw. I know my Hee Haw. We need to watch those words of gossip. We ought to purpose in our heart tonight, Lord, with your help, I'm not going to gossip. And I don't care how spiritual you think you are, we're all guilty of that. From the pulpit to the back row to the balcony, we're everyone guilty of gossip. Listen, watch out for these phrases. I heard. I heard. I had a young preacher just recently. I was preaching in another state, and this other preacher was there, and we went out to eat. He said, Brother Eddie, you know what I heard? And I thought, here it comes. He said, I heard Brother so-and-so's wife left him. I said, you heard that or you know that? He said, I heard that. I said, well, hush. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even like the preacher he's talking about. I don't care for him one bit. But if his wife did leave him, me saying I heard ain't helping him near a bit. I don't care how much I dislike someone. I didn't say I didn't love him. I don't like him. I don't care how much I dislike somebody. I don't want to see nobody's home broke up. Amen. So watch out for that little phrase, I heard, when you start to say it or even when you hear it. When somebody says, I heard, you fix to get some gossip. Second phrase, have you heard? Well, it's getting quiet. Have you heard? No, and I don't want to. You shouldn't entertain it. You shouldn't listen to it. I'm the pastor and people have to bring me things and I still hate it. Some things people come to me with and I'll say, okay, we need to deal with that. Some things people come to me and I say, I don't mean to be rude, but you just need to ignore that and mind your business. Amen. And by the way, you don't have to tell me everything. If it's not a threat to this ministry, keep it to yourself. Watch out for these phrases. I heard, have you heard? Thirdly, they say. Fourthly, everybody says. Everybody could be wrong. Everybody could be wrong. I'm just giving some illustrations tonight. was a young preacher whose wife left him. He was pastoring a church. You know him. He remarried and moved to another state. Some people disagree with a preacher who's been married more than once. And these preachers were crucifying this young man. He wasn't trying to pastor a church. He's just leading a youth choir. He's being faithful in church, doing his best to serve God. And I sat there and, boy, it broke my heart. Because every one of those, and all those boys that were talking were younger than him. And I sat there a few minutes, boy, and I just said, fellas, why don't y'all just leave him alone? They said, yeah, but we heard. I said, you don't know. I said, I know. I said, I was just with him the other day. I can tell you where he's at. I can tell you exactly what he's doing. Yeah. One of them said, well, I heard his new wife don't even live with him. I said, well, you're wrong. I was just at their home. They just shooting their mouth off about stuff they don't even know. Yeah. Hurting somebody who's trying to do right. Yeah. Somebody who may have fallen, who may have messed up. What happens in Christianity when you make a mistake? It's either doggone if you do, doggone if you don't. If they stay out and wallow in sin, they're going to run them in the ground. If they get back up and try to get right with God and try to do right, they're still going to crucify them. Leave him alone. Leave them alone. Amen. Anybody approaches you with this statement, isn't it awful? Watch out. And be careful with this one. I hate to say I told you so. I've seen where people have slipped and failed and made mistakes, and it never fails. Somebody will say, I knew that was going to happen the first time I met him. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're just as apt to do the same thing. As the one you're, watch out for that little fox of an uncontrolled tongue. Bridle that thing. Harness that thing. I remember hearing the old preacher tell about a lady. He preached a message on the tongue, and after the service, a lady in the church came to him, and she said, preacher, I just want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, sis, it ain't long enough. Leviticus 19 and verse number 16, the Bible said, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 13, the Bible said, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Wow, now isn't that something? Now that's just Bible, boys and girls. He said, a talebearer revealeth secrets. You know what that means? We know it. It may be even true.
Come on now. That's good,
brother. If Brother Freddie or Brother Greg or Brother Charles has a weak moment in their life, and they could have, they're apt to. How am I going to help Brother Greg Nix? If I go to Brother Robbie and say, pray for Brother Greg, he did such and such. Yeah. Now I've destroyed his confidence in him. Yeah. What if I go to BJ, who is loving his Sunday school class and growing and learning about God, and just walks out with just a glow on his face after hearing Brother Freddie teach? How am I going to help his spiritual growth by telling him something bad that Brother Freddie did? I'm not. That's not helping him. It's hurting him, and it's sure not helping lift my brother back up. Amen. And some of you with your wicked minds are sitting there right now thinking, what'd Brother Freddie do? It's too bad. I can't repeat it. He didn't do anything. But is this making sense? Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. You know what it ought to do? It ought to break your heart. It ought to break your heart. I've got a preacher friend of mine who took an agenda. And I mentioned this here recently, I think. A preacher, a friend of both of ours, made a bad mistake. He really messed up. And this preacher somehow got a hold of a letter that a woman had written him, and he went around the country reading that letter from pulpits. How did that help anything? Man, we got too much gospel to preach. We got too many sinners to reach to get consumed with that kind of thing. Amen? It's not mine and your job to reveal someone else's sin. It's our job. And they'd preach and act like they're mad about it. It ought to break our hearts. Amen? Words of gossip, a talebearer. Then there are words that just are wounding words. Wounding words. Proverbs 18:8, the Bible said the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:19 said, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secret, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. That verse in 18:8 said that the words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, one of the most hurtful things in the world is to have somebody you love, somebody you have confidence in, spread something you shared with them in confidence. And then that hurts, boy. They came to you for help. They came to you as a friend. They came to you in despair and in need. Please pray for my marriage. We're going through a hard time. And I've seen some of you do it over and over and over and over and over. Somebody come to you in confidence about their marriage, and it spread through this church overnight. Those are hurting, 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 hurting words. Some of them are out of church today. And you know what they say? Why? We're ashamed to even come back because everybody knows what happened. Everybody wouldn't if somebody had kept quiet. Amen. Just say amen. Amen. It's true. Yeah. Amen. I don't believe in hanging out people's dirty laundry. I'm a cover-up preacher. Amen. Yeah. Damage control. I know preachers, a married couple mess up in their church, they make them stand up in the middle of church and tell it. How stupid, man. Especially if they're trying to get it right. Be careful of those words that hurt. Our job is to heal, to lift up, not to wound and tear down. Boy. Words of gossip, tale-bearing, words that are wounding. And then there's words that causes strife. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20. I'll be off of this in a minute. Y'all will be okay. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20. The Bible said, where no wood is, the fire goeth out.
Come on, brother, right there.
So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceases. Y'all, can I read that to you again?
Yes, sir.
He said, where no wood is, the fire goeth out.
Yes, sir.
Some of you will remember several years ago, I preached a message on firewood.
Yes, sir.
No firewood for sale here.
Amen.
Don't buy the firewood.
Amen.
If we keep the wood off the fire, it'll die out. There are people in our church who are being talked about right now. Let's take the wood off the fire.
Amen.
Let's take the wood off the fire. And you know what? Hey, if you're the target of it, if we'll get the wood off fire, you won't have to worry about it. It'll be forgotten.
Yeah.
If we'll purpose in our mouth, our heart tonight, we're going to stop this thing. If we had to get some super glue and glue it shut, don't do that. You'll have to go to the doctor. Brother Tom said, sure don't put it in your eye. Amen. He done that. He thought it was eye dropping. But we ought to purpose in our heart that we're going to stop this thing. I wonder how many of you be honest and say, I have a little trouble with that. Come on, I got my hand up. If you talk as much as I do, I am my mother's son. That thing's hard to get a handle on. Amen. Let's don't cause strife. If we repeat it, we're just adding to the fire. And you know what it does? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. When that fire's little, it's easy to contain. But that thing starts spreading, it's like them fires out in California. Amen. All them helicopters flying over, man, you can drop everything in the world on it. It just burns and burns and burns and burns till thousands and thousands of acres are destroyed. And if we don't learn to stop those words of strife, it won't just be you and your family that are destroyed and the people that you're talking about are destroyed, but everybody around you. I know people who have stopped coming to our church because somebody told them that something happened in the church and I didn't handle it. And they wasn't going to go to a church where a preacher wouldn't deal with a problem like that. They wouldn't tell it to me. I went to their door, knocked on the door, looked me dead in the eyeball and said, oh, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. The Lord just led us such and such. But they told somebody else. That's why they wasn't coming, because I wouldn't deal with the situation. The idiot that told them that had no idea I'd done dealt with a problem. The problem was solved. The whole issue was over. Just because I didn't get in the pulpit and go, I just want everybody to know I handled that. Just let me do my job. Amen. I'm not having an attitude tonight. I'm trying to help you. I want a stronger church in 2009 than we had in 2008. Amen. Whew. Can I give you a couple more before we get off this tongue? Let's watch out for idle talk. Matthew 20, 12 and 36, the Lord said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Can I give you a word of advice? There's nothing wrong with friends having friendly conversation. But sometimes we just talk too much.
Yep. Amen.
I used to tell Ashley when she was a teenager, all right, you've been on the phone 5 minutes, get off. You talk more than 5 minutes, you're talking about something you shouldn't. And that's probably true. So watch out for that idle conversation. What is idle conversation? Just casual conversation. Get to laughing and cutting up with somebody, and it gets a little out of hand. You start saying things you shouldn't. Idle conversation. Idle conversation about our past lives. Isn't it funny? You get around a bunch of Christians. We take a fishing trip every year, Brother Greg, sit around the fire. We'll talk about the Bible 10 minutes from 3 hours, talk about what all we used to do. All them little teenage boys and kids we take fishing sitting around there listening to us. I'm guilty of it. Man, I remember we used to stay out all night and party. Man, we don't need to talk about that. It's gone. It's forgotten.
That's right.
It's under the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you one more. I said, let's watch out for words of gossip, words of a talebearer, wounding words, words that causes strife, words of idle talk, and let's watch out for words of busybodies. 1 Timothy 5:13, the Bible said, and withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. What's a busybody? Somebody who always likes to keep something going. In most messages I've heard along these lines, women get the blunt of it. But mister, you look up here at me, you're just as guilty as they are. Busybody, when you say busybody, you automatically think of a woman, because they're all the ones that get blasted for it. That's good preaching, Brother Eddie. That's just one of them little foxes. How do you stop it, preacher? You're just going to have to deal with it in church discipline? No, you're going to have to deal with it. I can't stop it. There's only one busybody in this church I can stop. There's only one talebearer I can stop. There's only one that I can control from speaking idle words, and that's me. And I got to deal with me. And you're going to have to deal with you. Amen. 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 All right. I put this in here and I ain't sure whether to give it to you or not. We need to watch out for those little foxes of a bad attitude. We need to watch out for those little foxes of an uncontrolled tongue. And I'm just going to bump this and move on. We need to watch out for those little foxes of sexual sins. Yes.
Amen.
We need to watch out. Acts chapter 15 and verse 29. He said that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
Amen.
What's fornication? People define that differently. It's acting inappropriately with the opposite sex in any way. It's not the Bill Clinton, I did not have sex with that woman. Right. I love the ladies in this church. I enjoy the fellowship that we have together. But I've got to watch that relationship that it does never go beyond pastor and member or just friend. Are we okay? I've got to watch that. That's why I don't want you ladies having my cell phone number. That's why I've never asked you for yours. That's a little fox. That when he slips in, chaos. We okay tonight? I'm saying, mom, dad, husband and wife, watch out for that little rascal. We get together and we love being together. All of us, we do. The big day, watching the guys play football. You notice I didn't watch the football a whole lot. I came over for a little bit when my wife went down there. The reason I didn't sit on the sideline and watch football, because it's mostly just you women sitting there. You say, what's the matter? You scared us? Not a bit. I'm scared what the devil can do with us. I'm just setting a guard over this ministry in my life and my marriage and over your marriage. You say, oh, you've got the big head. You think, no, I don't. I'm just using me as the example to keep from picking on one of you.
Yeah.
Amen. You can be friends with another couple in the church. But sir, his wife is his wife.
Amen.
And it's got to stay that way. It's okay to go out and eat together. It's okay for the Sunday school get together. But when it's two couples that can't do anything without the other couple there, that little fox is in the hen house. That little fox is in the hen house.
Yes, sir.
If you can't go out on a Friday night with your wife alone and enjoy yourself without having the other party there to yuck it up with, something's wrong in your marriage.
Yes, sir.
The fox is in, and he's fixing to get the grapes.
Amen.
I told you I'd bump that and leave it alone. Watch out for it. Watch out for it. Let's watch out. I'll give you this and I'm done. Let's watch out for the little fox of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. Job said in Job chapter 15 and verse number 2, he said, "Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind?" In other words, we don't need to be thinking we're all that. We need to trust and rely on God for everything. Some of you got some strange looks on your faces. I didn't come here to offend you tonight. I come here to help you. I don't want to see you hurt or your family hurt. And looking back over 16 years in this same church, I see these little foxes that have done the damage every single time. Our greatest enemy right now, on the looking on the surface, is the finances. But not one time have I had anybody say, "I'm leaving this church because it's broke." We've never had nobody leave because we were struggling financially. Never. But we've had them leave over bad attitudes. We got some sitting at home tonight with a bad attitude. We've had them leave over an uncontrolled tongue. There's probably a lot of other little foxes I could have hit tonight. But just to me, what stood out in my mind, these are the major ones. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Let's keep our eyes open. You know what them old farmers used to do? They'd keep a shotgun loaded by the door. They'd hear them hens start cackling in the middle of the night. They'd fly out the door in their boxer drawers with a shotgun blazing. They'd say there's a fox in the hen house. Let's keep our shotgun loaded. This one right here. And every time we start to hear those idle words, those words of gossip, those words of discord, those words of strife, those wounding words, let's remember, that's that little fox, that's that little fox, that's that little fox. Did you know if you'll try this one time, and I'm done, Brother Todd, if y'all can think of anything to sing after that, come on. If you'll try this one time, and I've done it just to see if it'll work, if you'll tell one person, that one person that always wants to tell you something, if you'll tell them one time, "I don't want to hear that." Oh, but I know for a fact, I don't care. I do not want to hear it. I love you. You're my friend. Let's talk about shopping, a sale. Let's talk about deer hunting, fishing. Let's talk about the Bible. But we're not going to talk about Sister So-and-so. I don't want to hear it. Did you know they'll never try to tell you anything else? that'll cut that thing off, like you reaching up and cutting off a spigot. It'll work every single time. Trust me, preacher wasn't beating you up tonight. I'm guilty of some of these things myself. I've made up my mind about some of them. I'm not going to tolerate it. And I'm going to do my best not to be a part of it. Amen? I'm going to watch out for these little foxes. And that little fox of those sexual sins, I'm going to help you watch out for them. Men, if I come up to one of you in private and say, you need to watch how you're talking so-and-so's wife, don't get mad at me. Don't you dare get mad at me. You watch it. You say, yes, sir. Maybe I am a little bit. You watch that thing. Because I'm going to do it. Ladies, if you're a little too friendly, I'm not coming to you. I'm going to get my mama to. My wife would never do it. I'll get one of these older ladies to come to you and say, love you, not fussing at you, but tone that down.